My text this evening is found in the reading that we've just read in Philippians chapter 3 and at verse 10, where we read, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." Paul begins this section of his epistle to the Philippians by calling the Philippians to rejoice in the Lord, but then warns them about Judaizing opponents of the gospel there in verses 2 and 3. In contrast, Paul has renounced his spiritual and ethical privileges for the sake of knowing Christ. And we notice that from verses 4 through to 11. And he calls the Philippians to follow his example of commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ in verses 17 through to 21. There are many things that distinguish Christianity from other world religions. But one of the most significant distinctions is this. Christians believe that Jesus rose again from the dead, having been crucified, and that he lives today to be known by those who trust him. The Jesus who was born in Bethlehem, who lived, who died, who rose again, still lives. Consequently, to know him personally, intimately, and experimentally is the first and greatest goal of the believer's life. And I wonder, as we come to this service tonight, can we identify with those words that we have just read? Do we have that desire to know him personally, intimately, experimentally, and to see that it is the first and greatest goal of the believer's life? In fact, just earlier on today, I was challenging my own heart, because I remember back 37 years ago when I first came to know the Lord as my Savior. I remember that time well. I had been converted after a meeting in Charlotte Baptist Chapel and come home and had met with Christ that night. I remember those early days and formative days of my walk with the Lord. If there was a meeting going in the church at all, I was there. Not the ladies' meeting, of course, but the youth meetings, the midweek meetings, the Sunday services. I wanted to be there. But I have to challenge myself today and ask myself, have I still the same goal? Have I still the same zeal? And this was Paul's goal, as we notice in verse 10 of chapter 3 of his epistle to the Philippians. Paul has spoken of his faith in Christ. Now he speaks of his goal in Christian living. It says there in verse 10, "That I might know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." Paul wanted to know Christ intimately, and he writes about his desire. My first point this evening is this. To be like Christ requires knowing Christ. To be like Christ requires knowing Christ. Now, Paul clearly is here no longer speaking about his experience on the way to Damascus, but of his present yearning to get to know Christ better and better. Notice Paul did not say, "I want to know about Christ." He says, "I want to know him." And there's a world of difference in the two statements. Paul wanted to know Christ in the truest biblical sense. He wanted to know him personally and experimentally. He wanted this to affect his day-to-day living. That was Paul's yearning. If someone was to ask you, well, how well do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? What would your answer be? We may well answer, well, I know him as Lord and the Savior. In other words, you're certain you're saved. Wonder you're here tonight, and you're certain you're saved. Paul was longing in this verse to know Christ with ever increasing intimacy. And that should be the experience of every person who has been brought to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he or she will have a yearning to know Christ with ever increasing intimacy. Wonder again, can I ask you a question? Do we have that desire? Let's answer it honestly. Do I have that desire? William Hendrickson, one of the Bible commentators, put it this way. Paul, he wishes to become entirely wrapped up in Christ so that Jesus will be all the world to him. And surely that this is an evidence that we truly belong to Christ, that we have this yearning to know Christ more and more. Well, again, another question. How does the child of God gain such an experimental knowledge? Well, I want to suggest, and I believe I'm suggesting biblically, that the way to come to a more intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is to give ourselves to the means of grace. I was preaching in Shrewsbury Evangelical this morning, and they had a table at the back with second-hand books, and anybody that wanted one or two or three could help themselves. And I just couldn't help myself, but I... Anybody that knows me knows that I love my books. I decided to tidy out my study this week. That was a mammoth task, I can tell you. It's not halfway through yet, but we're getting there. I put some of the books on the landing, and I don't know what my wife has to do with her time, but she found time to count my books, and she says, Paul, you've got 400 books on the landing. And no matter where I go, I find books. We had to go to Cardiff. It sounds a bit of a task, doesn't it, when I say I had to go to Cardiff, but it was a delight to go to Cardiff to pick up Daniel. He had just returned from Moldova in the early hours of Wednesday morning. Well, I wasn't going to go in the early hours of Wednesday morning to pick him up, so we went later on, and we just happened to work it that we could visit a bookshop or two and a charity shop or two. I like to do charity shops as well. And we were hoping to get into the city, but we were in the Heath bookshop, and we didn't have time to go into the city. So Elizabeth says, well, we'll just go into one or two of the charity shops along the road there. And you know, I found a tremendous find in the charity shop. And you're all wondering what it is, aren't you? Catherine, I can see you looking. You're all excited. And well, I'll tell you what it was. It was a book by your father-in-law, Catherine. Dr. Andy Christofides, writing a book, day one publication, on John 3:16. I tell you, it's a brilliant book. And let me recommend that book to you. And it's well worth the read. It's a tremendous thing. If you want to know God through John 3:16, then buy that book. It's definitely worth, was it £7 on the back? I think I got it for £1.49. But there you are. Not everybody can buy books like that in a charity shop. But one of the books I got this morning was a book of sermons by Spurgeon. And I couldn't even wait to get home to read it. I pulled into one of the laybys and started to read one of the sermons. You really think it's an obsession, Sharon, don't you? But one of the things he said is this, and it struck me, and it coincided with what I wanted to say tonight. Do we value the means of grace? And do we make good use of the means of grace? Now, let me just run through them quickly. There is the reading of the Word of God. There is time spent in prayer. There is giving the attendance to public worship. You see, when we become Christians, when we know the Lord as our Savior, then public worship shouldn't be something that we find wearying, but something that is a delight. And of course, there is the fellowship with the Lord's people. It's a wonderful thing that no matter where we go, we can have fellowship with the Lord's people. For iron sharpens iron as a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. It also involves seeking to grow to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ in our actions and reactions. Richard Sibbes, the Puritan, said this, that if we're poor in this world, that's in the providence of God. But if we're poor in grace, that's our own fault. Now, that took me a little while to get my head around it. But the more you think about it, the more that that is true. In other words, the way that we grow in grace, the way that we grow to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ, is to give ourselves to the means of grace. Secondly, to be like Christ requires knowing the power of his resurrection. How did Paul wish to experience the power of Christ's resurrection? Or why did he wish to experience that power? Well, above all, in the living of a godly life, Paul wanted to live a godly life. And Paul knew that a life lived with Christ meant a life of holiness. He also knew that such a life was impossible if it depended upon his own natural resources. When we go back there to Romans chapter 7 and at verse 19, we read these words. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Why? Because he's depending upon his own natural resources. We need to depend upon Christ. Paul longed to be more like Jesus. Now, he did not want to know this power of the resurrection of Christ so they could show off his own selfish abilities or ambitions. No, he craved that power in his own life so they could identify with Christ and live and witness for him. We notice there, and Derek has already read it this evening, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, do nothing by rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. And so Paul had that attitude, not to show off his abilities, but to witness for Christ in the strength of Christ. Paul could say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Thirdly, to be like Christ requires sharing in his sufferings, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, I may share in his sufferings. The third thing that Paul says is that he wishes to know Christ was that he might know what it was to share in his sufferings. Paul longs to participate more and more fully in the reproaches and the afflictions of his Lord and Savior. Look there in chapter 1 and verse 29. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him but also suffer for his sake. And Paul knew what it was to suffer for Christ's sake. When we go over there to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 on to verse 30, you'll see how Paul experiencing beatings and imprisonments and so on and so forth. I'm not taking time to read that tonight. But he knew what it was to identify with Christ and his suffering in that way. Now, suffering is not a privilege in itself. One should not court suffering. But suffering in the behalf of Christ and for the sake of the gospel is totally different. Indeed, it is a blessing. Richard Sibbes, listen to the Puritan Richard Sibbes again. He says, "For in all our sufferings, Christ is in us, teaching and helping us to bear them with patience. And as a sanctifier of all of them, to be a blessed end, and as one that frames us to bear all of them, even as he himself did." I'm just lifting one verse of scripture out of my notes at this point. I'm thinking of 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. That reminds us that all who would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so there are times that we do suffer for the sake of the gospel. But it need not be a tragedy. On the contrary, they can draw us into a more intimate and closer fellowship with the Lord. And our life can show forth the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ in that way. I don't know about you, but I have met with those who have suffered for the sake of Christ, and there's something about the beauty of Christ in their lives, is there not? And then finally, to be like Christ requires becoming like him in his death. Paul could say here that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. We must go back to chapter 2 again of this letter of Paul to the Philippians, where Paul speaks of Christ's obedience to death and holds it up as a pattern for all Christian conduct. Paul wanted so much to become like his Savior that he was prepared even to die for his cause, for the cause of the gospel. Paul could say, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that he wanted to be crucified. What he longed for was to be prepared to die. Now, how does that apply to us? Well, if we go there to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 31, Paul there is speaking about dying daily. In other words, dying to our selfish ambitions. It implies death to selfishness. In other words, we should have an eagerness to be a blessing to others, as was Christ in his death. Thus, a person becomes conformed to Christ's death, says Hendrickson. That's a challenge, isn't it? I was sitting last Tuesday night, it was, in the elders' meeting just before we had the midweek meeting, and I don't know what crossed my mind, but I started to think about this, dying to self. And I thought to myself, am I prepared to die to self? To die to my selfish ambitions? To die to what I want and seek to be a blessing to others? See, there's one thing true, that you cannot promote yourself at the same time as promote Christ. You cannot promote yourself and be a blessing to others. It was Professor Finlayson, one of the bygone day in the Free Church in Edinburgh, Free Church College in Edinburgh, who said that no man at one time can preach Christ crucified and show himself clever. No man at one time can preach Christ crucified and show Christ and show himself clever. My time is gone. But I trust that something that I've said tonight might be an encouragement to your hearts. Can I encourage you, above everything else, to give yourselves to the means of grace, to value the means of grace, to make good use of the means of grace, and so to come to know Christ in a more intimate way? Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the challenge that we receive from your word. And yet, Lord, not only does there come a challenge, but there comes an encouragement. And we recognize again that if we're going to be anything in Christ, and if we're going to be all that we should be in Christ, then we do not rely upon our own natural resources, but we rely upon your grace and upon what Christ has done for us. Thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is a means of grace. And help us, Lord, to give ourselves to it, in meditating upon it, in studying it, to listen to the exposition of it, and to have a desire to do so. So we thank you, Lord, for our fellowship in the gospel. Help us then to encourage one another in Jesus' name. Amen.